Bismillah, salatu wassalam wa ala rasulillah. When we last left off, after Musa alayhi salatu wassalam and Khidr alayhi salam were parting, Khidr alayhi salam explained the reality. As I mentioned before, that Allah tabaraka ta'ala in the surah explains two scenes that this ummah will go through, and people in the previous ummahs will go through also. Because the era, the fitna of Dajjal is not only restricted to this ummah. It has been from the beginning and it will go right till the end. And in every era there will be either Dajjal, meaning Shaitan and his army will be higher, so they will be ghalib, Muslims will be maghloob. Or it will be Muslim people of Islam will be higher, and then evil will be maghloob. Where Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam has his discussion with Musa alayhi salam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains that during the time when Islam will be maghloob, and kufr will be ghalib, higher, like what we find in our time from the destruction of the Khilafah. And he gave three principles to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam using three examples. And thereafter Allah tabarakatala will speak of Zulqarnain. And there also Allah tabarakatala will give three examples. So three principles. And there Allah tabarakatala will explain the reality of the Muslim when they are ghalib, and how they will always become ghalib. So in the three examples of Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam, the one was the Shab. But he explained, in a time where Muslims are weak, then don't make a show of yourself, because you will be then taken over by the enemy. You carry on doing your work, you don't attract attention, and you don't make yourself too smart. If there are a couple of flaws in your system, it will be good for you, it will not be bad. The second lesson he left was, that in the time where Muslims are weak, the death of the heroes of Islam, or the death of innocent people, although it will cause Muslims to cry, but it will be with their very blood that Allah Tabaraka will water the gardens of Islam. As every blood drops, Allah Tabaraka will create a new army. For the ghalba to come later on of Zulqarnain, there will have to be a time where innocent Muslim blood has to be spilt. Duas, crying, tears, sacrifice, mujahada. And when that reaches a certain limit, Allah Tabaraka opens up doors of hidayah. Allah Pak opens up doors of conquest. Finally, they came to an area where they asked for food. The people were not ready to feed them. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was irritated. Khidr alayhi salam put up the wall. And then he said, why didn't you ask for money? So he explains that amma al-jidar, that the final thing was regarding the wall. Fakana li ghulamain yateemain. There were two youngsters, orphans, and orphan means their father had passed away. The wall was theirs, meaning under the wall there was some great treasure of theirs. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Because their father, Mufassirin have explained, it might not have been their father, it might have been grandfather. If not grandfather, great-grandfather. Allama Alusi rahimullah says, you can trace up seven generations. Seven generations away from these young boys, there was a very pious man in their family. Perhaps on account of him, Allah was seeing to the intizam of the entire, what we will call progeny. So he said, if that wall had to fall now and they are young, the strong people of the time, town will find it. And because they have no qadr for this treasure, the treasure had two parts. One was wealth, and the other was deen. There was a lot of advice put in that treasure, but the people of the town would never have benefited from the advice. They would have thrown that away. And there was a lot of wealth in the treasure. If it had fell at that moment, the wall, the boys would have got not 1 cent. So Allah Ta'ala decided that rather, instead of exposing the treasure, it will be best for all if the treasure can be hidden. A hidden treasure is something that no one benefits from. A treasure you only benefit when it comes out. But if the treasure has to come out at the wrong time, then no one will benefit from. So Allah tabaraka ta'ala put up the wall again. And the desire was, فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا. It's Allah's desire that when the young boys will become strong, وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا, then themselves they will be able to draw the treasure out. رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ. It was all looking like it was Allah against the ummah. But it was always Allah for the ummah. This was a mercy from your Lord. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. I am just a worker. I never do anything from my own side. ذَلِكَ تَعْوِيلٌ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. I have explained to you realities which you could never understand. What was the third reality? The third reality is in the time when Islam will be maghloob, kufr will be ghalib. The treasures of Islam, which is called ahkam-e-Islam, the laws of Islam, the laws of business, the laws of fighting in the path of Allah, the laws of zakat, the laws of farming, all the laws of Islam, what we will call a practical Islam, how a business will move, how women should conduct themselves, are they allowed to leave the house, if they go out, what must they wear, can you have newspapers, radios, if you have, how must it be governed, can you have pictures of people, can you have pictures of women, can you have pictures of animals on the roads. So Islam is not ever meant for the masjid, and Surah Kahf was never meant for the masjid, and Islam was never meant for a Darul Uloom. Islam is meant for out of the masajid. A masjid is only to charge your battery. But Islam never came as a religion. Islam came as a way of life. That Islam is to be practiced outside, and five times a day you come inside just to get a new charge. But when Islam will become maghloob, and the laws of Islam, which is the true treasure of Jannah, when that treasure has to be taken outside the masjid, then evil hands will fall on the treasure, they will make no qadr of the treasure, and they will distort the entire treasure. You will find either the modernists on the name of Islam, who will say, but this verse doesn't suit this para, change it. This word don't suit it, change it. This dress doesn't suit, change it. Or it will either be a kafir who will say, I like Muslims. Muslims are good people, but it is Islam we got a problem with. Muslims are very good people. So Allah Ta'ala says, in that time He will never give people out of the areas the hand, the chance to put their hand on the treasure of Islam. Whenever the treasure will not be valued outside, Allah will bring it within walls. And walls of masajid will be put up. Darul Ulooms will be put up. Makatib will be put up. Khankas will be put up. And in those walls, whatever was true Islam to be seen outside will be preserved inside. Until a time when the ummah will become strong again, وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ أَكَنْزَهُمَا, then the treasure of Islam will be taken out. It will never happen that the treasure of Islam will be put in wrong hands and destroyed. رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. You might think that what is all this that we are speaking about, heavy, heavy things in Quduri. But never in the world you will see it. So many babs of Bukhari, Muslim, you might think, I think these babs you can just skip now. The year is coming to an end, 40 pages left. This is not practical stuff. But Allah Ta'ala wanted what is not practical for you today will one day again become practical. Until the time it comes practical, the treasure won't be just pushed one side and said, now the treasure is gone. It will be protected, even though you will never see a practical system perhaps in your own life. And Allah Pak has protected this treasure from when? From the time the Khilafat broke, there was no Islamic rule then. There was hardly ever hudud and qisas, Islamic punishments. Hardly ever businesses ran on the laws of Islam. But every single mas'ala which was mentioned in the past was taught until today. That we are not only worried what's practical, but we have been given a job to look after a treasure. And the day when the treasure will be valued by the people outside, then doors will open up. Walls will fall. And what was preserved within walls will now go out of the walls. رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكْ وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. Allah Ta'ala will preserve deen. And Allah Ta'ala will preserve deen till a time will come when our Islam again has to come up. It happened in the past and it will happen again. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first example in this ummah of Islam coming up. There was kufr all around, Romans, Persians, they had taken the world. And one man in a small area stood up and suddenly light started flying. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And thereafter he just carried on. Thereafter kufr had its time again to rise. And then Islam again had its time to rise. Then came the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi. Then came the time of the Ottoman Empire. There were times when Islam was down and everyone said finished. And there was time when it came up. Allah Ta'ala says, whenever Islam comes up, it is Allah's intizam to make sure for Islam there will always be a Dhul Qarnayn. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقُرْنَيْنِ. They ask you, who was this man, Dhul Qarnayn, عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. Dhul Qarnayn means the man with two horns. Who he really was makes no difference to our life. Because we have seen enough and we will see many more still. Dhulqarnain was one in the past, but there will be many more in the future. A man with two horns, could either mean he had a helmet which had two horns, or it means he ruled from the east to the west. There were those Dhulqarnain in Islam who were good people. And in history we will find Dhulqarnains who were bad people. They also ruled from the east to the west. The good man was also called Sikandar, the bad man was also called Sikandar. Alexandra. One was a fire worshipper, he was a worshipper of Shaitan, the Jal. And one was a man of Allah. Both took the same name also, the same laqab they both had, and they both had a rule that extended from east to west. Ya Allah Tawarukullah speaks of the good man. قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. He was a ruler of the world, so how much of his history? Allah Tawarukullah says, I will only mention to you a part of his life. And that part which will be a lesson to the ummah whenever they are ghalib. Whenever they are strong. إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah Tawarukullah says, when we desire that Islam should become strong, we make the intizam from our own side. You will find a man who got nothing in front of him, but we start providing everything. Where evil has been provided by shayateen, jinnat, dajjal, good has always been provided directly by Allah Tawarukullah. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. Whatever he needed to do his job, it was immediately sent to him. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. And then he was told, now follow. You must follow what has been sent to you to do work in the world. And his maqsad was deen must come alive. Allah Tawarukullah mentions three places he went. The first two are very short, the third one is the most important. The first one, he came to a place where he found the sun setting where it was. Again, it makes no difference in our life. The main thing is he left a lesson in the manner that he went to that place. The people of that place most likely were what we will call the zalims of the ummah. In our present times we will call maybe America, Britain, or we will call people who are oppressing the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, zalims. People who are just killing, killing, killing. And now he came on top of those people. People who are deep in kufr and who did not want to see anything else. So Allah Tabarakallah said that we have sent you as an adab now on these people. إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبَ وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّقِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا. If you want to, you can attack immediately. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah entered the land of Baytul Muqaddas 100 years later after, meaning the Christians entered the Crusaders. 100 years had passed, but what the Crusaders had done had not been forgotten in that area. The Crusaders, when they entered in a good manner, that we are people of peace. But within a few days, there was so much blood in the town, that the horses were walking in blood. And they said the blood was coming to the knees of horses. There was bodies that could be found practically stuck on walls. It was all over. Muslims were killed, Christians were killed also. Everyone was killed. Whoever was deendar, whoever had a deen, massacre. 100 years later, he enters. The law would have been imma an tu'azziba. Now you have taken over, if you want you can just slaughter immediately. Wa imma an tattakhidha fihim husna. And if you want you can take a better road with dealing with these people. Both is allowed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then explained to this ummah that although both would have been allowed, but Allah tabarak ta'ala mentioned the second one, it's a better tariqah, husnan. And Islam has come always as a better tariqah. We are not like the people of kufr that we die for revenge. Islam is a mercy of peace and forgiveness. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have come over the enemy. First give them da'wah to Islam. That, oh my brother, whatever happens, happen. If you accept Islam today, you'll become like me, I'll become like you. Whatever I'm enjoying, you will enjoy. I will not touch your wife, I will not touch your children. I will leave you in the country, I'll even make you the ruler of the country. And if you don't want to accept Islam, then I will take the jizya from you, a tax. Where the Muslims will pay zakat, you will pay a jizya, a tax. The Muslims will be protected, I will protect you also. You will carry on worshipping according to your religion, I will not interfere with you, I will not trouble you. I will not harm you. Rather, if anyone tries to harm you, whether he is Muslim or non-Muslim, I will have to stand up to defend you. Husnan. And the final, that if you are not ready, then let us have a war. But not a mad attack. Then men will, old men will be killed, women will be killed, children will be killed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now when you enter to fight, even a tree that is giving fruit, you must not touch that tree.
Birds are benefiting from the tree. Young boys will benefit. What you got to do with the tree? You will leave the animals. You will leave young boys. You will leave women. You will leave old men. Anyone you find in their church, in their synagogue, in their temple, you got nothing to do with them. You will leave them. And you will make an announcement that we have come for war. Are you ready? You will watch who you kill. Husna, a manner which is completely different from all conquerors of the world. So when Dhulqarnain was told this, most likely by the Nabi of the time, that Allah has given you two chances, two choices. Either you can attack immediately because these people are deserving of immediate punishment. Or if you want to, you can choose a unique method. So immediately when he heard unique method, he said, "Amma man zalam." I will send out the da'wah to Islam now. And I will ask them, are you all ready to ask for forgiveness? Are you all ready to change your life? Or at least are you all ready to come under the rule of the deen of Allah? And if they are not ready, amma man zalama, if they still stand up and said, who dare you talk to us? Then he said, فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ. Then I will grant them such a punishment, ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. I will punish them and then they will go to Allah. فَيُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا نُكْرًا. And the punishment of Allah is something I cannot imagine myself. Meaning my punishment will be a small punishment. Although we will say the Muslims massacred them on that day. But he explained, ours is a small thing, you'll die one death. But when you will go to Allah, then there will be no death to die then. Then it will be azab after azab after azab. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. As for those people who accept, in between he left out, but Islam taught us the surah of jizya. In his it was, whoever accepts iman and does good actions, then I will not make life difficult for them. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. Allah will give them the real reward. They're going to get Jannah after that. But from my side also, I'm not going to make life difficult. I will not make them tongue. I will not put them through imtihan. I will leave them nicely and I will carry on. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. He showed the rule of Islam. Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahimullah entered as a conqueror. All the Christians now dropped their heads because they understood 100 years ago what their fathers had done. A mashura was made that what punishment must now be given to make everyone happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered, his surah was La Tasriba alaykum al-yawm. He entered Makkah Mukarramah, everyone was brought in front. Umar radiallahu himself said, I was already preparing the speech. That you start reminding them that what and what you all did to the Messenger of Allah. Aren't you all sorry about it? And he says, while preparing what you say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever happened in the past will not be mentioned from today. La Tasriba alaykum al-yawm. But my brother Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, you all are my brothers, everything forgotten. Umar radiallahu anhu said, he started perspiring. That what was the mizaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So many years of persecution, but not even making mention of it. Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah had mashara, what must do with these people? Majority of the people were revenge. That they killed my father, my grandfather, blood was over. Read what and what happened. Islam must show itself. So he made a mashura, in the ending he pushed for the right, can't we forgive these people? So the people said, never. They cannot be forgiven, they are zalim. So then he said, okay, can't we accept ransom from them? That whoever can pay for his freedom, he must give a certain amount, it will go to the Muslim treasury and then he can go. So finally they accepted that. So many Christians who were rich would started paying. Or they would get people to pay and money was coming. But then there was an entire collection of Christians which went into the thousands, which had no money and they had no one to send money for them. And now they were in front, what's going to happen with them? So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimullah, he opened a gate. And he called it the gate of Salahuddin. And he said, whichever Christian goes through that gate, his number must be recorded and his name. And how many will go through, I will pay the ransom for all of them. Thousands. One after, just moving, and he's recording. Then I will have to pay it. What a tariqah of Islam. Allah Ta'ala said, when Islamic rule comes, then that is the leader's job. That you will enter with a rule of husnan. We don't come for revenge. We have not come to prove a point. We have come to bring deen alive. Thumma atba'a sababa. Thereafter he carried on. The second thing, when the Muslim conqueror will come upon what we will call those people who are not so well-to-do, they are perhaps not so civilized. Perhaps they got a lot of wealth with them also, but they don't know how to benefit from it. what the Western world will today call third world countries. And there's no such thing as third world country, but it's a word that has been made up. That a third world country is a country that got a lot of wealth, but because you people are idiots, you all must not know how to use your wealth. So another country who is called first world country, who got no wealth, he must use the wealth because he's first. You come out third, and everyone says it makes sense. That is called a third world country. So Allah Tabaraka Taala said, thereafter he came upon another group of people. They were what we will call third world. They were so far behind that they never even know perhaps how to put a shelter over their head or how to put on proper clothing. Allah Tabaraka Taala says, لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. Between them and the sun, he was finding no barrier also. They were simple people. But obviously every simple person around him will have a lot of wealth also. There will be his animals, there will be his farms. But Islam got nothing to do with that. Islam has come to remove zulm, not to steal and suck the blood of people. So Allah Tabaraka Taala says, what did he do there? كَذَلِكَ. A ruler has nothing to do with these people. He looked at them, he smiled and he carried on. وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. And in between these two areas, Allah Pak says, there were many other things that he did, but he doesn't really have any connection with this, with us. Two things have connection with us. One is when you rule and you will be given power over zalims, then instead of revenge, rather look at husnan, a tariqah which is beautiful. And when you come upon poor people, then don't try and suck their blood, suck their wealth. Thereafter Allah Tabaraka Taala says, Hatta إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. Finally he came onto a place where there was one mountain and another mountain. Between the two mountains he met some people who found it very hard to communicate with him. Finally, with great difficulty, someone who could make the tarjuma was brought. The very fact that they could not communicate with him, he himself could have acted like a big in charge and said, you people can't talk, forget you people. These people came to ask for help. But because they couldn't communicate, normally when someone comes to ask you for help, if he can speak well, he's well dressed, he can show good papers, then you give him a lot of time because he's Mr. Important. But when a person comes who can't do anything, he's weak, he can't even express himself, then our normal condition is, because you are so weak, where are you ever going to help me? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would free slaves. He'd buy a slave and set the slave free. So his father Abu Quhafa, who at that time was not a Muslim, told him that if you are going to waste your wealth in this buying and setting free, then at least buy strong slaves. So the day you set them free, he's a strong man, he will do work, he will get rich, he will always remember your favor. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh my father, I buy slaves who are very weak. And I set them free because I'm only looking for the favor of my creator, not for the favor of man. Allah Tabaraka Taala was so happy with the statement, mentioned it in Quran. That when weak people come to you, what is your condition with them? So these people could not even express themselves in language. Intizam had to be made of tarjuma. Finally, when translation was made, they explained to him that we are poor people, weak people. We do not have the ability to fight against the people on the other side of this mountain. So it was two mountains, many mountains in that area. But there was a gap in the mountains. These people lived on this side, and on the other side another group lived. And every now and then that group would attack through the mountain. That group, these people called them the Ya'juj Ma'juj. That the Ya'juj Ma'juj are troubling us. So because we have always heard this, that the Ya'juj Ma'juj were troubling these people, majority of people in the world understood thereafter that the only place to find the Ya'juj Ma'juj would have been that place there. That they were only there. Whereas the people never say that the Ya'juj Ma'juj are here. The people said the Ya'juj Ma'juj which are here are troubling us. Meaning they were not speaking about the rest of the world, do they exist all over. They were just saying that here around the corner, these people are troubling us. Can't you do something to help us? So Zulqarnain now sets up a plan. InshaAllah, Allah pak grant tawfiq. We will continue after the hour.